Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I am also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, and I like telling these two about them.
And we love it. We love every goddamn
second. And we also love it. I feel like we don't often say that in the intro. We just let you in, but like, we also love it, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
What's up with us? I feel like, did anything, something scary happen this week? I've been told.
It's silly, but it scared me.
Oh, tell us.
So as you know, I have two cats. They're very bad. And so I don't let them in the room at night when I'm sleeping because they're too annoying at like approximately 3 a.m., then again at 5 a.m., then again at 7 a.m. But they do know that if they scratch on my door and meow really loudly like that, that's like they're still being annoying. And so that's their go-to. So I have a shock pad that I lay in front of my bedroom door to keep them an extra 2 feet away. And
that's a thing? I didn't even know that existed.
It is. It's like a dog like shock collar type thing. Like gives a little zap.
Whoa. That makes sense.
That's amazing.
But the other night I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I tiptoed over it on the way out. And then on the way back, completely forgot and stood like both feet on it and got so zapped. And it scared me so bad. I thought for sure I was like dying.
No.
It was so stupid. I just forgot within a matter of like 30 seconds. So
I would do. Yeah, that would be the big. I would do that every single time.
Taught me a real lesson.
You taught you a real lesson. You're training yourself.
Were you up for the rest of the night? Did you go back to bed? I don't know how you recovered.
I did, actually.
That.
I recovered pretty quick. You'll be relieved to know.
I mean, it's meant to shock a cat to a non-lethal degree. So probably an adult yeah. woman, it would not be so bad.
It just really startled me.
Oh, man. The lengths that we go to like build our whole lives around an animal that we brought into our homes. It's very funny. It's like entirely our fault, and yet what are we gonna do? They're cute and soft and
worth it,
and worth it.
every shock.
Worth every shock.
What about you guys?
I started reading a book this week that I have been meaning to read for a long time. I'm like way behind. The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin.
Reading 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll read our different series and we'll trade.
Okay. That's exciting. So I had listened to a bunch of podcasts where she'd been interviewed before because she does this really amazing exercise in world building with people. And she goes into like schools and does it. And she's done it in these interviews and she does this kind of like live questioning back and forth with individuals and you build a world together. And she's just a master at doing that. And it's so compelling and amazing, but I've never actually read anything she's written. So I just started this week. It's great, as expected. Highly recommend it. It came out in 2015 and she's actually the first Black author to win a Hugo Award.
Yeah, she and a Black woman in like the fantasy genre is a very small percentage of those authors.
Mm-hmm. Pretty rare. So, but the book is great and highly recommend it. That's what I've done this week.
I'm so excited, Henley, to hear that. She's my one of my sister's favorite authors, and she recommended her to me, and so I started with 100,000 Kingdoms, which is her other, I think it's a trilogy. She writes mm-hmm. a series. I mean, that's, I feel like, pretty typical of fantasy, because you build a whole dang world, and then you're like, well, I got to write many books, because I did a lot of fucking work, I imagine, yeah. is what it feels like to be an author.
Yeah, yeah.
so I'm excited to hear the back and forth about our little different books.
We can have a book club.
We can have a book club on the different books that we're reading.
Emily, what about you?
I went to the dentist this week.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
For the first time in a long time.
Did anybody recommend you a dentist?
Somebody recommended me a dentist. Samantha Smart recommended me a dentist. And boy, was it a good recommend. I loved this dentist's office. They're great.
He's great.
We don't have the same dentist, apparently. I have the other dentist in that office, but he was wonderful. They were lovely. I went because I got really freaked out last week that I had a cavity. I haven't been in the dentist in so long. Like, I lied to him about how long it had been when I answered him because I was ashamed of the truth.
Yeah. What? Give us the real number, because I usually tell them 2 years when it's usually four.
The real number is like six.
Ooh.
And I gave him three. So I did a similar logic where I cut it in half. I don't know that it's six, but it's long enough that it could be six. Like, I just don't, it's been a long ass time.
What is time, you know?
What is time? Nothing. And I was worried I had a cavity because my teeth started feeling sensitive, but it turns out I don't have a cavity, which is a great success. I'm just grinding my teeth from stress. So
congrats.
Thank you so much. It's not all great news, but it could have been worse. And he's a great dentist. And now I have a new dentist and I won't wait another 6 years in theory. But I felt so, it was a very safe environment and they were like great. And they wore masks and I wore masks until, you know, getting my teeth cleaned. But I felt so badly that I had to be without a mask around him while he's wearing a mask.
Right, there's no way to do that with a mask.
There's no way to do that. And it was a very bizarre feeling.
I'm glad you went, and I'm glad that you felt like it was a successful experience. I feel like I have had so many bad experiences with dentists, and I kind of think that
awful
dentists are a scam.
You've said that before, and I need to reiterate, Henley, that I really think that's a dangerous
I disagree
thing for you to think. I really disagree, thinking it. I disagree with you, my friend, thinking that.
I just think that we should all be a little bit wary about what dentists are telling us.
No, don't listen to Henley. Please don't listen to Henley.
No.
No, Henley.
Listen, I've had so many experiences with dentist telling me that I needed to spend so much money on things that I do not think I needed to spend money
Maybe
on.
Maybe they're doing some upselling. I've actually felt like that at the eye doctor.
They are upselling for sure. And there's no way to check unless you go see another dentist and get a second opinion, which is like very time consuming. And also that dentist might upsell you on something else because they're all upselling us.
I want to repeat. They're not all upselling us. Some might be.
I don't have enough dentist experience to answer this. And, you know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Listeners, leave it in the comments.
Leave it in the comments. What
your dentist experience has been like.
We've said the word dentist too many times. It's lost all meaning to me.
Yeah, let's change the subject. You guys, guess what else I did this week? I watched an incredibly scary movie.
Oh, boy.
Called The Orphanage. Came out in 2007. Directed by J.A. Bayona. Written by Sergio G. Sanchez, starring Belén Rueda, Fernando Caio, Roger Princip, and produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Good job with the name, Sammy.
I don't know.
You were nervous. It's a Spanish film.
Bayona.
Yeah. And we have a guest this week. We're so Ooh. Excited. We're so excited to have a guest. We're so excited to have this guest on this movie. Welcome to the podcast, Mano Agapian.
Woo!
Oh, Mano, hello.
Hi. Oh my God. So it always feels crazy. I've done a lot of podcasts in quarantine, but it still feels crazy when you're just listening to people. Like, it just feels like you're a liar and you're a cheater and you're eavesdropping.
Do they know that I'm on this call?
Yeah. And I have opinions, but we have to talk about the movie, but really quick. Yeah, don't go to a dentist until your teeth hurt. I heard someone say that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
That's true. That's the truth. It's you don't go truth. To a dentist until your mouth hurts. And that's I also had a good doctor say the same thing to me. He was like, let your body talks. Let your body talk. When your body screams, come to the doctor.
Screams. Right. Hi, my body is screaming. Well,
listeners,
you know,
we don't give medical advice.
We don't give medical advice.
Don't sue us.
No, we don't. We're not.
He did say when I left, he was like, you're supposed to come every 6 months. And I had remember hearing that when I was a kid. But even then, I was like,
That's a lot.
Excuse me? Twice
Nobody
a year?
Has time for that.
I haven't been in 6 years, my friend. I'm not coming back every 6 months.
Yeah, that's too frequent for sure.
But yeah, that's my take on that. And then my take on this movie is I effing love it so much.
And thank you for censoring.
Thank you.
Thank you for censoring yourself.
What'd you think of the movie? Was it your first time seeing it?
Yes, I had never seen it. And I'm gonna make a bold statement that I think it's like top five scariest movies I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Wow.
I was really scared. It stuck with me. I was scared after watching it. That never happens to me. I usually, like, the second a horror movie's over, like, I kind of, like, feel like, okay, time for bed. This one, I was like, I had to, like, check around my house.
Was it the same night you got shocked?
No, thank God.
Oh, that would have been too much.
Thank God.
That would have been too much.
Was it before or after?
I got shocked before.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That's better.
But, Did you like it?
I loved it. Yeah. I'm very happy.
I
went into it a little blind. Like, I didn't know much about it. And I think that was a really great way to go into it.
Yeah. You guys, this movie is incredible. It's my favorite scary movie of all time.
And
yeah,
you're a big scary movie fan.
I do. I love scary movies. You should do a podcast about it. But you can still find on Stitcher Premium if you really love scary podcasts.
What's it called?
Tell us.
Horny for Horror.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice.
Yes.
Check it out. Check it out, listeners.
Check it out. I love scary movies so much. And this one to me is like a real genre bender me, where
very
it's like
fantasy-y.
Which is very Guillermo del Toro influence. Right. And I think even though he does a lot of stuff with fantastical elements, I think this one is like the best mixture of sort of reality and fantasy. Mm-hmm. And oh, it's so good. I know you're not going to see it, Emily, but also you should.
I know. I do this every time maybe I'll see it. Maybe I can see it. Sammy already told us, she said that I can't. She knows that I can't.
It's scary.
I love Spain. So I was just start saying that. I was like, that's so stupid. Shut this girl up. But I love Spain and I love Spanish. And I was like, I just want to watch it so I can hear the Spanish. But no, I would be too scared. I would be way too scared. And I don't think that I can handle it.
Yeah. Damn.
Did you see it in theaters or afterwards?
I did not see it in theaters. I saw it afterwards. I just had another horror friend who was like, oh my God, watch it. And then I got to show it to Betsy. She hadn't seen it yet. And then now she loves it. We, of course, just rewatched it so we could talk about it here. But it is just, it holds up every time. It makes me cry.
No wonder Sammy loves it. Sammy loves a horror movie that makes her desperately sad.
It's true. Heartbreaking and sweet and scary. And it blows my socks off every time.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think those are my favorite horror movies to hear about, not watch, because I'm too scared. But I love hearing about the ones that are incredibly emotional. Those are they're just like, that's what I feel like horror at its peak in a way is when they're able to capture sadness or
emotion. Well, that's what makes good storytelling, right? That's what makes you want to hear more. So it's perfect for us to just be like, just tell me.
Just tell me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Cocktail Hour. I'm still here mixing up drinks for you. And this week, our cocktail is a high tide. Just a nice, lovely, summery, beachy drink. Nothing sinister about this here. Don't even worry about it. Forget about it. To make a high tide, you're going to need 1 ounce of rum, 1 ounce of coconut liqueur, 1 ounce of Midori, 4 ounces of pineapple juice, 1 ounce of blue curacao, and maraschino cherries. To make a high tide, In a tall cocktail glass, you'll combine the rum, coconut liqueur, and Midori. Pour the pineapple juice over that mixture. Add your ice, then top with blue curacao and garnish with maraschino cherries. Enjoy. And just as a side note, don't even worry about it, but avoid caves if you can. That's always a good rule of thumb. Cheers. Did anyone have trivia about the movie?
Ooh.
I had just a few.
Yeah, just have like two, but let's just say them.
Let's just say them, right? Let's just say them. One, which I can't believe that this is true, mainly because it just sounds exhausting. So it premiered at Cannes, and they say it received a 10-minute standing ovation.
I believe
10
it.
10 minutes.
Wow.
10
I believe it.
Minutes.
That sounds
is
exhausting.
Such
to
a
you?
Long time clapping to be for standing 10 and clapping. And I just imagine around minute 7, people being like, no, yeah, we're still clapping. We're still clapping. Going? Yes, yes, yes. Oh, no, yeah, we're still clapping. We're still clapping.
Okay.
Yeah. that's exhausting.
It's exhausting. But oh, they're poor
you
hands.
You don't want to be the first person to sit. That's poor form.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that yeah. bodes well.
That's good.
That does bode well. It is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
I just wrote that the budget was $4 million and it made $78 million. Pretty good return.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
That's awesome for them.
Yeah. That is awesome for them. They are happy. They are really thrilled.
Another thing I saw was that like basically since this came out, they've been trying to do a remake, an American remake, because that's their favorite thing to do. Like anytime any foreign movie is successful, they're like, well, better make an American version. And so it's kind of been in the works for, I guess, 13 years. I looked it up and it's like still kind of maybe happening. The last article I could find was from 2018 and they're like, we found a new director. They've just been like re-choosing directors and stars
that's
for 13
good.
Years. So
yeah,
we'll
that
see.
Doesn't
that's
make
like,
me confident in the
no. It's outcome. Like one of those like failed Kickstarters
yeah.
where it's like, this is the water bottle that makes water by itself. And it's like, and it's if you look into it,
coming
it's
soon.
A failed Kickstarter. Oh my God. I love that. I love the world of like little scams like that. And it's yeah, there's a lot of scams like that out there. But yeah, I would hate that. If they do it, they need to cast it with all Latinx or Hispanic people. But I'm pretty sure they would just pop.
No. I think Amy Adams was one.
I was about to say, they'll call Anna Kendrick and she'll be like, okay.
Yeah, like the exact opposite.
It's like Pitch Perfect 5.
Can I bring my cups?
What if instead we found the whitest little girl you know? Oh my God, maybe I can be in it.
Yay!
I
mean, at least give a fresh face a chance.
I mean,
they won't. They won't.
Do you have any more, Emily?
I have one more, which is a thing that I hate about scary movies and would hate if I were doing a scary movie, is that the director would improvise things during scenes to surprise the actors, such as running on the background and hiding to startle them.
Whoa.
I don't like that. I would not like to be startled.
He grabbed one of the actress's ankles from under the bed. And so one of her screams in the film is a genuine reaction.
Whoa.
That's both cool and insulting. It's like, I'm an actor. Let me do my job. If you really didn't trust me, why'd you put me in your movie? Also, someone should tell him about those cat shock things. He should just put those
that
on the set.
That would have been effective for sure.
Right. I have an uncle who's like the scare uncle, you know, and like the nice way I can put it is I hate him. And no, but it's like there's no way to be like to just look him in the face and go, this is not funny and you have to stop.
you this know? Is such a selfish act on your part.
He's like trolling you in real life. Like there's nothing you can do to
exactly.
respond. That's
exactly.
I don't like that one little bit.
It's lame.
It's lame. It's lame.
Lame.
Your uncle is lame.
Yeah, I have to face that. He sucks.
I hope he's a listener.
Oh yeah.
I hope he is. I hope he is a huge listener.
I hope you know he is a burnout from. He is a man whose brain was burnt out on the beaches of Mykonos years ago. So I don't think he has the the eardrums or attention span to listen to any podcast, if that makes you feel any better.
Thank God.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Simon!
The Orphanage.
Well, I think we can get into this movie, right?
Yeah, so Mana, you just lead the way and I will be your support when you need.
Please interrupt me because I'm going to get it so wrong. No, interrupt me. Okay.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we gotta be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
So, okay, open. Orphanage. No, I'm pretty sure it opens like in 1975, where you see some young kids playing outside of an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And they're actually playing a game of like, that's kind of like a tag game, if you will, where you knock on a tree. And it's almost like a mixture of Mother May I and Hide and Go Seek in a way.
And also like that game that you played in pools where you're like on one side of the pool. Shit, what is that?
Jailbreak.
Yeah. Where you're like turning around to try to see you like
sharks and minnows.
Yeah, that
type of thing. Yep.
So this one is you're facing a tree and you have to knock on it. And so they knock on it 3 times. And they say, un, dos, tres, toca la pared. So one, right? Like, you know what that means. You're better at Spanish than me.
1, 2, 3, knock on the door.
Knock on the door. That's it. And you knock, and then after you say it, you look back. So it's kind of that thing where, like, every time you look back, you have to, like, freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the kids keep walking closer every time. They have to freeze, though.
Uh-huh.
And eventually...
This is already scaring me. I don't like this.
But it's all... It's in the daytime. It's in this beautiful Spanish orphanage. But it still is creepy because you're like, ugh. So they're playing that game, and then you eventually tag the person who's knocking on the tree, and then you all chase each other or something. So it opens with that, with our baby Lauda,
mm-hmm.
who is, we quickly cut to, I will say this really important part. It's like the orphanage, and then the credits are creepy little hands, ripping wallpaper off,
yeah,
and like revealing names of who's in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Spooky
That's cool.
credits.
Child
That's
hands
really
is
cool.
scary.
Oh, also, yeah. I think we need to point out that there's obviously going to be a lot of children in this movie, and Mono, mm-hmm. you're going to have to do all the guessing of what their ages are because Sammy's incapable of knowing the age.
I
of
think
any
we
child.
Decided every child in the world is 8. That's
yeah,
the rule.
That's what we came to the conclusion of because Sammy couldn't figure out how old any kid was in any movie.
We're just going to average it out. And actually, these ones might be 8.
It's honestly the perfect scary movie age.
Yeah.
Just old enough to be aware, but still young enough that they could be innocent.
Exactly. Exactly.
And also, in that opening, Laura gets adopted.
Oh, lucky her.
Yes.
Important.
Yes, she gets adopted, and then the orphanage people, like the orphanage owner or whoever, is like, oh man, the kids are really gonna miss her. And then it is like a smash cut to the credits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's weird. So Ooh. So then you cut to modern day, and we see adult Lauda, who has now returned to the orphanage. Her husband and son have moved into the orphanage that she was once an orphan at.
That son? Probably about 8.
Yeah, yeah.
is it still an orphanage? Or is it like...
It is no longer an orphanage, but they're living in it like it's a home.
Okay.
They do have plans to reopen it as a facility for disabled children.
It's fucking creepy.
It's very creepy.
The like horror movie bingo is off the charts in this. There's creepy kids, creepy
oh my gosh.
Huge house.
Nothing like buying a terrifying home to start your new life. People in horror movies love to do that.
It looks like the Addams Family house, honestly.
But then it also, because it's set up like an orphanage, it has rooms with like 10 sinks, and I don't know why, that's just creepy. Or like 10,
like
ten tiny little children's beds, and it's just spooky. Ugh.
And get this, there's a church in the house.
Not good.
No, it's like a weird, dusty chapel. It's awful.
Get your chapel out of my house.
So they're living in this house, and it's just her husband, Carlos, mm-hmm. and her little son, Simon, who is the cutest little kid in the world. This kid is an amazing actor, and you just love him the second he's on screen, right?
He's super cute. Yep.
Oh.
He has these curly... I'm probably biased. He looks like a little me, but he just has... He's like... he's gorgeous.
He is incredible, this child.
To lay your eyes on him is to look into the eyes of God. No, but he's just like a cute little boy with curls, and he's just doe-eyed and doe-cheeked. And so they have not opened it to disabled children yet, but they're kind of just like getting comfortable in the house. And Simone claims that he's, I want to say, is this when then like, do they go walking on the beach?
Yeah, we learn that he has some like imaginary friends. You hate to hear it. Immediately he's like talking about how, oh, his friends like don't want to come to the beach with them. But yeah, him and his mom go to the beach. And she's kind of being
yes.
like, this is where I grew up. And like, we used to play here, and kind of giving him the tour of, it's like a seaside orphanage, by the way. It's like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So the beach is very gorgeous. But I have horrible news. There is a cave on the beach.
Yes, there's a cave.
Horrible.
There's a cave and a lighthouse there. And also just a little bit to tease you, that it has been, Simone does have to take medication every day. And we don't immediately know why, but he has to take medication every day. And so we're at the beach, we're in the caves, right? Laura showing Simone around, and he suddenly starts talking to nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at like a dark
cave.
Yeah, like a dark corridor in the cave, and he's like, ha 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 ha.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's like, you can come over to my house if you want. Like,
no, you can't. Don't.
Yeah. And Laura's like, come on, let's go home. And he's like, okay, can my friend come? And then she's like, I don't know. But she looks to make sure, and she doesn't see anything.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, there's nothing here. But Simone has a big bucket of shells, and he starts placing them Hansel and Gretel style. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, so that my friend can come find his way back to the house. So he leaves like a creepy shell
it's
trail.
Awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what happens?
So then we go back home and the social worker comes over. And I can't remember her name now. Benigna?
Oh, yeah. Benigna Escobedo.
Mm. Yes.
Benigna is a great, creepy old lady name.
As she is
Benigna.
Creepy.
Yeah, she's really creepy. And she's like, oh, like the... I was sent over by the doctor or who did she say? Maybe she says like the social worker. The social worker sent me over, and she's like, who? What do you mean?
Yeah, Laura's like confused, like what? Like it seems a little suspicious, but she goes with it.
And she's like, she is a really hunched over little Spanish lady wearing like a dirty blue dress. And like she has those like Coke bottle glasses on. She's freaky.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to be the babysitter?
No, like, she's like a social worker. And yeah, Laura's like, why are you here? And she says, I got Simone's file. And Laura like tenses up a bit and like, okay, like he doesn't, she says he doesn't know that he's adopted.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't know about his illness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these are bad things for him to not know at this stage in life.
And then I think she's like, you need to tell him, like, or something. And then he's like, don't tell me what to do with my kid, honey. Okay, first of all, number two, your outfit's crunchy, okay? Your hair is dusted. Get out of my house.
And then fight.
They fight.
Yeah, yeah. And then
she punches
red
him.
Wine all over the place. No, but so she is like, please leave. I don't, please leave. Like, thank you for your concern, but I don't need any help.
Mm-hmm.
And is that when she looks at the file?
Yeah. And so then we get a little look at the file and see that he has HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Isn't that shocking?
Oh, my God.
I was shocked as well.
Oh, that's awful.
It is. Yeah. And it's just like, it's such a strange thing for a young person to live with. And it's like, oh, you're like, okay, that's why I need to take medication every day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So Benigna leaves. And then later that night, you know, dark. It's dark in the creepy, big, gigantic, creakety house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And they're hearing Laura is woken up and she hears weird noises and her husband won't wake up. He like just never wakes up.
Look, a man's got to sleep.
He always is like, I'll get up. I'll check. It's my turn to check. And then goes back to bed. Useless. He's useless.
Yeah, he's useless. So then she starts scooping around the house. When she goes all the way outside to, I don't know, is it like a coal shed?
Yeah, it's like a very spooky shed. And she's in a nightgown at night by herself with no weapons on her person and hearing a noise in the shed. And I'm like, don't do that.
Ew, and like the cheap wooden doors are like flapping in the wind and they're smacking. And she's like, who's there? So then we go into the shed, very creepy. We see some creepy movement in the background. And then suddenly, like, we almost like a twig snaps. And then we see creepy Benigna in
what?
The shed.
In the middle of the night.
Creepy old lady Benigna in the middle of the night. And she's like holding a shovel and she's like, ugh. And then she like skulks away like a little raccoon.
She makes a run for it.
Whoa!
Yeah.
With no explanation.
No explanation.
Nothing. Just in just with a shovel in the shed. Just hanging out.
Yep.
She runs away. They call the cops. The cops come. The cops snoop around and they're like, I don't know what to tell you. She's not here. But I think they do add, they're like, by the way, there's no lady who works at that office named Benina. Oh, right.
Like, we
Benina.
Checked that name, and that's not, yeah, that doesn't exist.
Right. She's not a documented social worker at where she said she was.
Well, it's weird to me that, like, a social worker would get a file of a boy right. that moves into the town, and then
right.
that's not how it works.
Right.
What system works like
right.
that?
Right. Right. That, I mean, that, and that that's a horror movie mainstay, where it's, like, a little bit of a... yeah, that's a mainstay.
How do
of,
we
like,
introduce this information and also exactly. introduce this character? And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like, well, I guess my husband must have called that whole, that chestnut.
Horror movies so, survive, all movies survive based on unhealthy communication in a marriage.
yeah.
yes, yes.
That's how we
yes.
get from point A to point B.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So then we're back. It's the next day. And I want to say, like, Simone and Laura are, like, playing a lot. Like, Simone is like, oh, I want to play a game. Is this when she finds something on the doorstep?
Yep, and boy, I Ugh. Did not like it.
Ugh. She hears some clinkety clanking. She opens her front door to see a giant pile of shells collected on her front porch.
No.
Oh, I was so mad to see it. I did not like that one bit.
Sammy, how nasty. Scared were you at this point in the movie?
I was pretty scared. I think it's like the first 5 minutes I was okay, and then from then on I was scared.
Oh, no. For the rest yeah, of the it feels time. Like they're planting so many different seeds that you like don't even know how to be calm.
I think that's what they want.
Is it the old lady? Is it the shells? Is it the house? Is it the
the
cave?
I will say I'm not sure if this is the first. It's not, but horror movies with subtitles, you can't like look away as much because that's my trick is I'll just be like, oh, like you said, like I'll look on my phone for a second. And it's like you can't because yep. mm-hmm. you're going to miss things. And so you're really
you
forced
do
to watch
this
it.
So you can only see the words and shadows. I've done that before, but it's not easy. You're like, I'll just get the words. All I can see are the words.
Yeah, it really forces you to pay attention and get fully scared.
Yeah. Oh, you get scared.
I did.
So I guess then they're just playing games, right?
She
they're
sees like... he kind of talks about Peter Pan. There's this little Peter Pan element where he's kind of thinking about growing up, and he doesn't want to grow up because then he can't go to Neverland. And you see kind of her register that with fear because she's, you know, like it's scary to imagine him not growing up. And So
then they like play a little game, and she's like, well, what's the game? It's like there's some sort of game with like, oh, well, if you find this clue, it leads to this thing. Yeah. And then she's like, okay, I guess I'll play along with you. And then clue to clue to clue. There's one in the church. There's one in the thing until the final clue leads to this locked drawer with Simone's adoption file, which had the news that he's HIV positive and everything.
What?
And he's at this point meant like saying my friends set up this game.
Yes.
Like my invisible friends, Tomas has set up this game.
Yes, he says, yeah, Tomas is the man, the boy who he claims followed him from the cave. And
Shell boy.
And he immediately she's like, "No, don't. Like what are you doing? Stop lying. How did you do this?" And he gets really angry. And then he yells at her, "You're not even my real mom, and I know I'm going to die soon."
Oh my god!
So yeah, had he read the file before? Did he read the file at the end of the game?
Tomas
he says,
"Told him."
Yeah, he said Tomas told me. He said my friend told me.
Oh wow!
Which is spookier because it was in like a locked cabinet right. that they just opened up. Which is like, wait, what? How did you? What is happening? So they're freaked out. They're freaked out by each other. He's starting to talk more and more about Tomas. She's like, please give it, cool it on the Tomas thing. So then there's sort of an opening, a ceremony for the orphanage's sort of, they're trying to reopen the orphanage to welcome about 5 or 6 disabled children kind of to
right,
their house.
Right.
Cause they're going to try to, they can't, you know, they don't want to make it huge, but they're like, oh, let's see if like, there's interest in taking care of some disabled children. And so they early that day, ooh, and by the way, it's a horrifying party because it's a mask party.
Spooky masks. No! Mark your bingos.
My God, they're doing it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like spooky, melted paper mache masks. Like, it's never just an elephant. It's like an elephant that's like distorted, melted on one side with like yarn as an eye. It's always very scary.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So they're bickering a little bit, and Simone says, like, I want to show you Tomas's little house. I want to show you Tomas's little house. And she's like, okay, no, not right now. Stop talking about Tomas. We need to go get ready for the party. And then they get in like a weird little fight, you know, and then I think he says again, you're not my mom.
He knocks
don't
the
tell
cake out
do.
Of her hand. He like is throwing a little tantrum and she's like stressed party planning and she's holding a big cake and he like freaks out and yeah, knocks the cake out of her hand and she
slaps him.
No.
Oh my God. And his face is so sad, like welling, his eyes are welling with tears, but like he's like holding them back. It's so sad.
Oh,
it's really sad.
It's gonna be hard to bounce back after that.
That's a tough one to bounce back.
It's really sad. She's like okay, I have to go get ready for this, please come downstairs. It's sad. So then, you know, she's looking for where the heck is Simone, when she suddenly, you know, we see children playing outside and we suddenly see a child wearing a sack mask and it is horrifying.
It's awful.
Like it's like a sack. It's like a oh God, what's that Fat Albert character? it's almost that, but way scarier.
It's very scary. I don't know.
There's like fake hair coming out of the top of it. And it's just like there's like
kind of
different sized eyes.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. And so there's a sack mask kid walking around and we're like, who is that kid? He doesn't seem to be playing with any of the other kids. And she's looking for Simone when she suddenly sees sack mask boy at the end of a hallway upstairs. And she assumed, you know, she's like, we think it's probably Simone just who wearing a mask.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's a weird confrontation where then the sack mask boy, she's like, Simone, stop it. This isn't funny anymore. Pushes her into the bathroom and like slams her hand on the door.
Oh.
Right?
Yes. He pushes her back. She tries to balance herself on the door. He slams the door on her and right on her fingers. We got a little close up of her little fingers smashing. And then she gets her fingers out and falls back into the bathtub. He locks the door from the outside, locking her in there, and holds the key up against the glass to like show her that she's locked in there. And she kind of is like stumbled back in the tub and we get a horrible shot of her looking at her smushed fingernail and she like pulls part of it's like a bloody fingernail. Ooh,
yeah.
It's so bad.
It's messed up, man.
So this was all this is like the sack. This is the we don't know whether it's Simone or not.
Right.
We don't know.
We're just assuming she thinks it is, but she doesn't really know either.
Yeah, he had a weird vibe for sure.
The sack mask boy, he had a weird vibe.
he kind of makes like some kind of growly type noises while she's kind of first she tries to take his mask off to be like, Simone, like, what's up? And he's like, kind of.
Doesn't feel like it's Simone.
Yeah, it's.
It doesn't. Yeah, you question it, and so she freaked out. She suddenly gets out. She yells, and like the party's put on pause. You know, well, at least for a second. You know, because she's like, actually, for a second, she starts just looking for Simone because he's like, "Where's Simone? Where's Simone? Where's Simone?" So then we do get that lovely little chestnut of her running around the party and screaming like a crazy person, like, where's Simone? Right? Because she can't find her fucking kid.
Like ripping
she
masks off little kids at random, like searching for her.
She's looking
panicked.
Everywhere. Yeah. She's looking in even like the little closet under the stairs. She looks there and nothing. you know, some stuff falls over. She puts it back. She can't. She's looking absolutely everywhere. Yep. Right. Yep. Then what?
She like panics and is like, the cave. What if he ran to the cave?
That's right. That's right.
And then, the thing about the cave is that at high tide, it fills with water. The tide comes in and you get stuck in there and you drown. And guess what? It's high tide. So she's running on that beach.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
She's running on the beach. She falls.
She sees,
hurts her knee.
Like a little boy in the cave. And she's like, I see him. I see him. And Carlos, her husband, is like chasing, like, no, like, don't go. Like, you're going to get stuck too. And yeah, we see her fall and break her leg in like a real gnarly way. It's like a quick shot.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what just happened? And then
it's strange. It's yeah, it could be a break. It's something. It's really bloodied.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. She's like running and tripping. And then, you know, her husband comes after her and she's like, oh my God, like, you can't run anymore. You've hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And then we see, like, we cut to that night. There's cop boats looking in the caves. And she's convinced that Benina must have abducted Simone, maybe. There's like this weird, crazy lady was
right
here. Maybe she took my child.
Right, right. And she's
dang
like, she's in the hospital for a second. We meet a detective, or no, she's a psychologist that works for the detectives named Pilar, who is like, oh, I'm like going to be working on your case. Yeah, we're going to do all we can to find this Benina woman.
Then at night, you know, we get to see her at night. She hears weird bumps in the middle of the house, really loud, creepy bumps. She wants to look around the house. But she's like in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So then she's like, I guess I'll roll around the house in my wheelchair, but I need to like figure out what the sound is since my husband's not waking up.
He never wakes up.
I was in the hospital today. We don't know where our son is. This goddamn man is still sleeping.
So then what happens? She just hears a big
clank.
She hears
a big crash and she's scared, but can't find the source of it. And then we cut to 6 months later.
Yes. 6 months later. And Simone is still missing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That is not
you know,
good.
You guys, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I did not think he was going to go missing.
I know. And of course, they're devastated because, you know, he needs medication every day. And
oh, God.
They're really worried about what his fate could be.
Yeah.
They're searching for him.
They're driving. They were at like a support group kind of thing where she's saying, I see him, or I see kids sometimes. And they're all like, oh, yeah, like grief does wild things. And sometimes we
check off gaslighting on your bingo.
Yep. 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 And so she's like, no. I actually see them. They're there. And
right.
So they're at this like support group. Yeah. For bereaved parents. And
she keeps, you know, we're starting to worry about Lauda because, you know, she just starts, at one point she's almost screaming at the bereaved parents, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parents are like, I'm trying to help you, girl.
Hey, look, I'm also grieving. Please don't scream at me that you're not crazy.
I know. I just tried to make, yeah. Yeah, I have my own shit. So then they're driving back, you know, Lauda's beside herself. Her husband Carlos is trying to be there for her. They come to a stop. They're at a crosswalk, and who the fuck do they see crossing the street with a carriage? But Benina,
fucking
oh,
Benina.
No.
They see fucking old bat Benina crossing the street with a little baby carriage, and they're like, oh, "That's Benina." And I mean, nothing can prepare you for what happens next. But they're like, Benina. And then she looks back. She locks eyes with them. They like look at each other for a moment, and I mean in a millisecond. I mean in a millisecond of a millisecond.
Uh-oh.
A van blows through Benina. A van. Yes. Yes. How gagged were you when
I
that
jumped
happened,
3 feet in the air.
Oh my God.
My butt left the couch.
It's a really big scare. So she is smashed by a van. And then, you know, the first thing, you know, Carlos runs towards Benina because he's a doctor and he's like, oh my God, let me help this person. But Laura runs to the
carriage,
the carriage mm-hmm. first. And then under the car, there's this squished carriage. And she's like, oh my God, is it my son? Is it my son? But it's just a creepy little old doll, like a creepy, like sort of wide-eyed wooden doll.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. And then we cut to.
Well, they're like all over her. Yeah. Yeah. Her like body. And there's a big crowd gathered around.
Yeah.
Ooh. And
yeah. Say what happens next.
He's like, you don't quite see. We're seeing from Laura's point of view. And there's like a big crowd gathered. So it's like in between people crowded around her. And then Carlos is kind of like, I think she's gone. Like she's dead. And
oh yeah, you see him do CPR.
Ooh, and then
his mouth comes back bloody.
Ew.
Like, yeah, and it's like, yeah. And he's like, I don't, no, man, no,
she's
it's
dead,
not.
Man.
Oh my God, I forgot about.
So
that.
Then they cover her face, right? They cover her face because it's gone. It's just not gonna happen. But of course, Laura zooms in. She gets closer and she notices a whistle around Benina's neck. So of course, she goes to get the whistle. And classic, Benina, the half dead, grabs her hand and then pops out, and Benina's jaw is off of her face. Like,
and he was giving her jaw CPR? Excuse me?
He was trying to blow into an open throat.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that's
she's
what
like
happened.
Wide-eyed. She's grabbed her wide-eyed, like, ah!
Oh, my God, it's terrifying. Big jump scares right in a row. It really got me good.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you relax after the first jump scare. You're like, okay, jump scare. I've got some time before the next one. But you don't. Not in this movie. Two back-to-back.
So then they're getting more information on Benina mm-hmm. because they're like, okay, this is who Benina is? Okay, great. So Benina, guess what? Benina used to work at the orphanage, and you knew her. And Laura's like, no, she did not work at the orphanage. And they're like, yes, she did. She worked at the orphanage for 6 months. Maybe you don't remember her, but she worked at the orphanage for 6 months. And this Tomas kid you're talking about, Tomas was at the orphanage, and Tomas was Benina's son.
Oh no.
But it was her. I know. It was her secret son. He was like, because it must be some weird nunnery stuff, but like they were like, I can't say, you know, he's my son, but for whatever reason, she worked at the pretended to work at the orphanage and then take care of her son Tomas, who also lived there.
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah. Did she like get pregnant and it was she couldn't be pregnant and maybe had Tomas at the orphanage or something?
That's, I think, kind of the impression that we're getting. Yeah, like she was like a young unmarried woman that maybe this had to be the...
Yeah, and like Spain, that would have been what, Spain in the late 60s? Because it was started 75, so that's like Franco era, like very strict conservative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe we're getting.
Okay. Ugh.
Yeah. And then, you know, then she finds out finding out more about Tomas because, you know, she's like, my son talked about Tomas so much. I need to figure out what's the deal with this Tomas kid. And then what Laura finds out is that a few weeks after she was adopted, the orphans, Tomas did, in fact, wear a sort of sack mask on his head. But because he was born with a deformity, he was born with a sort of like. Skeletal, he has sort of like a deformity which like made his bones kind of protrude in his skin.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it's alarming. And the orphans stole his mask and the orphans took him to the sea cave and then they stole his mask there and then Tomas was so embarrassed for anyone to see him that he never left the cave, and he ended up drowning
in
the cave.
Died in high tide.
Yeah.
Kids are so mean. Why are kids why are kids so fucking mean? Why?
They're fucking mean.
Because they're just little grown-ups who don't know how to handle their shit.
How to pretend to be nice.
Fucking mean too. Yeah, they just like don't, they just are like stealthier about it.
That's true, actually.
Adults are fucking assholes.
No, yes, they can be assholes, but I would say kids can just be particularly mean.
Well, because yeah, they just let it all out.
They don't know. Yeah. They don't know how deeply traumatizing that would be for a child.
Well, they killed him.
I mean,
well, truly, they killed him. And so the joke's on them because they killed him.
Wow, kids, that's fucked up.
When you think about it, kids are just trying out emotions and like behaviors for the first time almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, I don't know, let's try out this bullying thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's this bullying thing like? That was kind of fun. Well,
also, I think why kids are featured in horror movies so much, because they're so unpredictable and so at the like mercy of their emotions. Like, they'll just do anything that comes to mind. Like, they're not thinking about it. They're not rational
beings. They're not thinking it through to the end. They're not like, they're like, this is fun. It's fun to harass this kid that looks funny. Like, I'm going to do it because it feels good. I'm not going to think
kids are
ahead
fucking
5 minutes.
Scary. Kids are scary.
Kids are awesome. Kids are really scary.
And we teach kids to believe in the other world.
Mm.
We're like, there's God, Santa, and an Easter bunny, and they're all watching you.
Right.
Like, and so then you're like, no, that one's not real. You're like, what do you mean?
I know, like, which ones are real and which ones aren't. This is a whole other conversation, but the new thing that parents do with Elf on the Shelf, I don't know if you guys know about
fucking
this.
Fucking terrifying. It's awful.
So insane, the lies that parents have to spin to create this, like, mythology around this elf that's literally watching them for, like, a month before Christmas.
Just to get their kids parents to behave move. For presents.
Every single night you have to move this fucking elf to a different shelf. It's like so crazy that you're lying to your kids. The elf is like a little minion of Santa, and he's there to like watch you for Santa. Mm. And he like tells on you if you act poorly. And
elf
I'm not
is a
joking.
Bitch. He's a fucking
every single parent has to do it now because like so many people do it that if your kid is like the only one who doesn't have an elf. If your kid doesn't have an elf, they're like, why don't I have an elf? All my classmates have an elf. It's getting worse. That's my only point. It's just getting worse, you guys.
It's bad. It's bad. And I have even worse news. Like, and now, like, everyone's doing it. There's a Greek version called Follow Apollo. That's like aimed at teaching kids about Greek Easter.
Oh my God.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Everybody needs one.
That's crazy. Okay, wait. Where?
Okay, so Benita's son has been killed by children.
Yes,
roaming
children. Yes,
died at the hands
Benita's
children.
Yeah, died being pranked by children. This Tomas kid that weirdly enough, you know, her son was talking about and did wear the creepy mask. So she's like, "What is happening? Where? How can I connect these dots?" So she's so at her wit's end that she asks for help from a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, so another bingo. Mm-hmm, another good horror bingo.
Another bingo. Mm-hmm. I got to see this bingo board, you guys. That looks
it doesn't exist,
fun.
But it's going to be good.
Oh, you should. Market it.
Market it.
Yeah. So the medium named Aurora comes to the house. And also a part of it is, like, she has, like, kind of a team. And, like, there's another guy who, like, talks about Laura sees this man. I don't remember what the man's name was, but he's kind of a professor type, and he's talking about how the other world and doppelgangers in the other world.
Mm-hmm.
And it like piques Laura's attention because she's like, oh, that's interesting, that like maybe this doppelganger thing is what's happening with my boy and Tomas. I don't know, like, right. You know, I need to understand what's happening. So they invite the medium to the house. And the medium does a seance where she tries to basically go back in time to understand what was happening in the orphanage years and years ago.
So he kind of like hypnotizes her, right? He like does like a thing where he like, so the professor guy is like, guiding her into this trance so she can see the orphanage as it was 30 years ago or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to count back from 10. And he counts back from 10. And then she like is like, ooh, it's so cold in here. And I like, there was like a draft in my house at this point. Yeah. I got so cold and so scared. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But then it's all through.
And it's all like green and found footage. Like, cause like they're doing a lot of weird technology to like sort of bring her back to a time. And one of the things you can't.
It's like night vision-y.
Yes. And there's also a really creepy clicking device.
Oh, there's always like, one of those, a little like metronome or whatever type thing. It's probably not a metronome, but something like
that. You know what
like
I mean?
That.
Like, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nasty. And like they use it to create all these highs and lows in the sound. Okay, and then what? And then.
Well, they're recording it and they have their little, you know, thing that's picking up noise. And we start hearing children on the thing. And there's no children in the house.
And they're screaming.
Screaming,
the kids are screaming
children.
Like in fun or in terror?
Not in fun.
No.
Not in fun.
As soon as I asked it, I thought, you know the answer.
You know the answer. It's like, it's pretty rough to hear because it's like cry screaming, you know? It's
oh,
like.
Oh, God.
And she's now in the room with the like 10 beds, the 10 children's beds.
Yeah.
And.
You know those. Creepy metal,
yeah,
like
hospital cot looking.
Yes,
yep.
Beds.
Yes,
yeah. Yep.
And she's kind of kneeling, and she looks like she's talking to someone, and she's like, "Who tried to poison you? What did they do to you?" And it's like kids like screaming and crying, and she's getting super overwhelmed, and then something gets too crazy, right? I feel like the lights go off or something. All the cameras turn off. And so they're in kind of a control room thing, like watching her with the big setup.
And they're like, we need to bring her back or else she won't be able to
come back. And so he's like panicking, like, oh, I'm counting back up from 10, like 10, 9, 8, like trying to wake her up out of the trance because he doesn't know what's happening because we don't have eyes on her anymore. And this is the scary part. I was freaked.
Oh, God.
And then he counts to from 10 quickly and she's like, even though she walked a far distance, she's right back in the chair she started in, like many rooms away.
Like
kind of
instantly,
a cool little scare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then she kind of talks more about it and she's like, oh, Benina poisoned the children.
Mm-hmm. Because she was pissed
because
they fucking killed her son.
Oh my God.
As revenge. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And then we suspect hid their remains somewhere.
Yeah.
But like, they don't know where their remains are.
So this was like right after Laura was adopted.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In theory.
Right after. These are all the same kids that she was there with. Playing the little 1, 2, 3 knock on the door.
So then unable to cope with how weird, like this is so weird. So Carlos is like, this is crazy. These people did a magic show for you. You know what I mean? Carlos, her husband, is like, this is fucking bullshit.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, they're like, playing a recording. Like you're falling for
it. Yes, and then yes, and I think the caseworker is there too, being like, this is crazy, okay? This isn't going to help you. You need to leave this house or something because all of this is like smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants to get out of there. He's like, this place is not good for us right now. We got to go. And she's like, give me 2 days. I need to like say my goodbyes to this place. This is where I spent my childhood. And where I lost my son, like, give me 2 days by myself to say goodbye to the place, essentially.
By myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And he agrees.
Yeah.
And he leaves.
What a good husband.
Oh, he leaves. He's like, leaves. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
He's not a great
husband.
You know,
I haven't been sleeping enough. I gotta go and catch up.
Gotta go to bed.
So, and then, you know, because she's trying to like figure shit out, Laura decides to make the orphanage look exactly as it did like 30, 40 years
ago. Yeah, she's kind of like, I'll play your game. She like is like rolling up her sleeves and she like gets dressed up like the workers were dressed up in that day, sets the table as it was like the night they died, and is kind of like, let's do this.
I think one thing we forgot to say was like at some point she finds a loose doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, somewhere in this mix.
One thing that she does,
or is it after this?
I think it's after, but just right. I think all this happens like right around the same time.
Pretty soon.
One other thing is she's desperate for answers at this point, obviously, and so she kind of is like standing in the middle of the house, saying like, "I'm not afraid of you. Like, where are you?" And this window in the background just like drops and shatters, and she goes to that spot. And yeah, finds like a little, it's like a bench, you know, like under a bench where you could store things in it, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And there's little dolls for all of the kids, like made in each of their images.
Right. And that's where she realizes, oh shit, that creepy doll the creepy doll of Tomas I found underneath the car fits perfectly in this slot. And then she finds a kind of like, she finds a little like clue underneath.
Mm-hmm.
She finds like a little weird like clue underneath the doll. And then that leads to, you know, a drawer. And then the drawer leads to a candy wrapper. And
the
then the candy wrapper
that he was playing.
The
with.
Same game. Yeah. Yeah. And then so that she starts playing the game, trying to figure out what the hell's happening. And then it all leads to a doorknob. And that's the last piece she can't figure out. She's like, what the fuck is this doorknob do? It's just like a loose doorknob. And she's like, all the doors I see have doorknobs on them, so I don't know what to do with this.
She ends up in the shed at some point. And she's like, just kind of searching for wherever this doorknob goes to. She can't figure it out. There's kind of this thing buried behind all these kind of sandbags in the shed. Mm-hmm. And she thinks maybe there's a little door back there. And she's like, maybe it's that door. But she gets there, and it's not. But she opens that door anyways because she was like, oh, Benina was in here with the shovel. So she like uses the shovel or something to pry that door open and kind of crawls in there. And it's a furnace.
And then there's bags that she pulls out and then inevitably one rips. And she begins to find bones and dust.
Oh,
and she even finds a leg brace. Which, of course, is the biggest clue that, like, this is the remains of the children.
Right.
And I guess Benina must have burnt them up after she killed them.
Holy shit. Holy shit. She was so bad.
She was really bad.
She was bad. It's really bad. To poison and then burn a bunch of kids. I don't care what they did. It's just bad.
Emily, that's a pretty hot take.
You know what? I'm standing right by it.
It's kind of crazy that she never, did she not know that like right after she was adopted, every other child at this orphanage like mysteriously died? I guess that was not something ever communicated.
It's a fair question.
Letters? Like how would they... Who would tell
her? I don't know. You probably like, keep in touch.
I'd say
with
she
least,
should have
you know,
known,
someone.
Yeah, but it seems like she didn't.
Yeah, no,
it seems
surprise,
like she
right?
did not. Yeah. They. It's crazy. I mean, you know, it's probably pretty rude to get a letter or like to send a letter to the orphanage and be like, "What's up? What's up, fam? What's up, orphans?
Anyway, I've got parents.
Oh my god, my parents kick so much ass.
How are you guys doing?
How's it over there? How are those beds?
Oh, God.
I sleep on a ceiling now. Okay. So then she's like, okay, I will play your fucking game. That's when she sets up the house to be like it was 30 years ago. She puts on a creepy old costume, like a creepy old nun costume.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, she's like, she's setting up the table. She's so mad. She's like, what do you want from me? And then she's like, okay, you want me to play a game, right? She's like,
she loses her temper at the, she like sets up basically the like supper table where they died and like sets all of their dolls like in their seats thinking like I can summon them here. Doesn't work. She freaks out. I can't totally remember what gets her to do this thing, but then she goes, because it's a little later because it's nighttime.
Right, it's nighttime. So I think she's like, okay, you seem to like games. Let's play a fucking game. So then in a pitch dark room in the house, She goes up to a wall and she goes, un, dos, tres, toca la pared. So like she,
cool.
It's so it scary, is, scariest scene in the movie for sure. The camera panning back and forth, like one take, no edits. So we're on her as she is the 1, 2, 3 knock, pan, empty, 1, 2, 3 knock, pan, one little kid.
And then they keep, oh, it's so good. And they keep doing it. And then eventually it's like 9 little kids, like in different spots in the foreground and background. And
getting closer and closer each time we pan back and forth.
And it's like so dark. You can just like see like the slightest like a shadow of light on their heads. It's so nasty.
It's so fucking scary. Oh my God. I was so stressed in this scene. It's so scary. And then as the game goes, eventually one of them taps on her shoulder.
Puts their creepy little hand on her shoulder. And then she's off. She's chasing them. She's running. And she's like, talk to me. Tell me where my kid is. What's next? What's the next clue? And they kind of lead her to a basement under the stairs. They lead her to the basement under the stairs.
Like a little Harry Potter under the stairs closet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Harry Potter basement. Fuck J.K. Rowling. And
oh, I know. It's so sad.
J.K. Rowling, shut the fuck up. Stop tweeting. We hate you.
Stop tweeting. Let us love your fucking books and shut up.
Shut your fucking mouth. Your problem.
So fucking rich. Just go away.
go fucking buy a bag of Teslas and fuck off. Leave
us alone. Bag of Teslas and fuck off.
Fuck off forever.
Anyway, so under the stairs, she's like, wait. And then she's like looking around and she notices the door keeps creaking, closing her in the closet. She opens it again. And then the door creaks closed. It like slams closed and you kind of see like a creepy kid hand.
Another big jump scare.
Yeah. It's one of those great like slow closes to a fast close.
Ooh, and you see.
Yeah. So then she's kind of looking around and I think she notices a hole in the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then she notices a hole in the wallpaper and she's like starts ripping at the wallpaper, which of course is a great call back to the opening credits. And then she has the fucking doorknob on her and she's like, oh fuck, this is a door. So then she puts a doorknob in this like hole in the wallpaper and then like kind of like tears it open, revealing a door she never knew existed.
And it's a fucking scary ass basement. Mark your bingos.
No,
there's stairs down. No, I don't want that. Don't go downstairs. Don't go down the stairs.
And this basement, I mean, I hate to be insensitive, but it looks like it's like a Chernobyl basement. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it is. It
like
looks
covered in dust.
Like, yes.
Nobody's been down there decades.
Exactly.
It's filthy.
As if a nuclear bomb went off inside of a tiny basement. It's just like gray, dusty, dark, tiny slivers of light. Barely like illuminating it. It's disgusting.
It's so scary.
I hate it.
Worst case scenario. And there's no Bobby Burke. There's no JVN.
No one's going to save this basement.
No.
No property brothers are here to help this basement. So she's going down there slowly, disgustingly, and she's seeing, she's actually seeing this little desk, which we actually saw was the desk, Tomas's desk. This creepy little desk with drawings, really horrifying drawings, horrifying child drawings. That should be on your bingo.
It is, yeah.
And, okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's on there for sure. Because they happen a lot and they're scary.
Right. So she's like, holy shit, this is the little house. This is Tomas's quote unquote little house. This is where they kept him away from the other kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Because they kept him separated because he was disabled. That is fucked.
It's fucked.
But they're like all disabled. So
yeah,
but they're like extra mean to him.
Yeah, they were extra mean to him.
It's very sad.
You know.
But yeah, it's creepy. There's like drawings on the wall, and then she sees a little like curtain.
Yes, a little curtain that led to like sort of like an obscured sort of bed, like a very unsophisticated sort of bed. And she sees like mm-hmm. what looks to be like a little maybe child.
It's about the size of a child's body.
About the size of a child's body. And she heads closer and closer, and then she pulls back the covers to reveal it's a fully alive and talking Simone. He's talking. Yes. Now, so go with me. Go with us. So he's talking. He's happy. They're joking. Do you remember any of the little tidbits they say?
They probably call back to Peter Pan or something. I can't remember exactly, yeah. But she's so happy to see him. She's holding him wrapped up in this blanket.
Oh,
and she's kind of hearing the kids.
She has seen dead children.
Oh, already. I'm not where I don't like where this is going.
So she's like, we got to get you out of here. She's hearing the little kids whispering upstairs and like giggling, like there's little children laughing everywhere. And she's like, it's okay. I can't remember. I think she kind of has a very emotional moment with him where she like apologizes to him, right? And is like, I'm so sorry. And like,
yeah. And he's like, it's okay. And now I play every day of my life. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. yes. And he's like, will you keep playing? Like, yeah, like keep playing with us. Like, will you come like play with us?
Yeah.
And the like kids' voices are getting louder and louder, and she's getting really scared. And she's like, Simone, close your eyes and imagine that they're gone. Cause she's thinking like maybe we're like stuck in our imaginations, something. So she's like, just think, just close your eyes, imagine they're gone, squeeze them shut. And then we get a close up on their eyes, and she opens her eyes and looks down at her arms. And the blanket is empty. Nothing there.
And then on the floor, just a few feet away from her, is the corpse of Simone.
No!
No! No! That is fucked. That is not okay.
Well, it's a little boy wearing the mask. Wearing the Tomas mask. And she's like, please no, please no, please no. She pulls off the mask to reveal that it was Simone, and she screams in bloody anguish, of course.
And then she looks and sees that the staircase down to the basement, the banister has broken, so he fell through there. And then we get flashbacks.
Right, of the loud clanking in the home.
The day he went missing.
There was loud clanking, which she's like, that was that. Yeah. She also had, there's also these heavy pipes, which we see she like put against the door in her search for her on the initial day. And they kind of rewind all that footage.
Yeah. So we see that on the day of, he was like, come see Tomas's little house with me. This is what he meant. She said no. He ran down there, fell.
Yeah.
Hurt himself.
Yeah.
Badly. Mm-hmm. And while she was panic looking for him, she went into that under the stairs closet and moved and knocked these heavy poles onto the door so he couldn't get out. He couldn't get out. And then when she was in the wheelchair hearing the noises at night, like the loud banging, that was Simone.
No.
It's so bad. And the last thing that happened was she hit him. That was her last interaction with her son, was slapping him.
And then locked him in a basement to slowly die. Yeah.
It's the fucking worst.
Yes.
Worst case scenario here, folks. It's so bad.
Worst case scenario.
That's awful.
It is horrifying and awful.
God.
But it is absolutely gut-wrenching and painful because like you fall in love with her and her child. But then something else happens, which I have to admit, us telling you is not going to be as gratifying as seeing it, but we have to tell you what happens next.
Have to.
Right?
You have to tell us. You don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice. So we see her holding the remains of her child. Oh my God. And she's just pounding pills. She's like pounding.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, of course. Yeah. Like she's going to be off the cliff now for sure.
Uh-huh. She wants to be with him again. She's like, I'll be with you soon. We see her eventually kind of just pounding pills, fall back into almost, you know, she passes out or dies, it appears. And then a few weird moments pass, and she, both her and Simone, of course, have come back to life in this fantastical fantasy, right? In death, I guess. They've come back together in death.
Yeah.
And it's weirdly beautiful. Like, it is weirdly really beautiful. And then they do a really clever thing where Simone is like, you're Wendy. You're Wendy from Peter Pan, and we're the lost kids. Aww. And now we can be together again.
Aww.
and then the ghost children are like, it's Laura. It's really her.
They were their friends.
Yeah, and one of them is blind, and she comes up and she feels Laura's face, and she says, it's Laura. She came back. It's Laura. And they all like gather around her, and she like holds them all, and they're like all together. And it like seems like it is a happy ending ish.
That's the end.
And then we cut to her gravestone. So we cut to the husband visiting the gravestone.
Yeah. And then he goes back to the room. And then, you know, he like sees a little sign, because there was also this kind of runner of him being a bit atheist throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he picks up this medallion, which Lauda dropped, which was like a St. Anthony medallion, which, you know, is like the patron saint of lost things. And he picks it up, and like the doors sort of like beautifully gust open with like wind. And it's like he smiles, and it's like this kind of cute moment where he's like, this sucks, but like, I am now a believer because I know like they're here right now.
Damn.
Got it. So it's a Christian film.
It's a Christian
no.
film.
No. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You guys, that was fucking brutal. Like, that is
wasn't it
brutal. I really did not.
I really didn't see that coming either, and it's tough. It's real tough, but it is beautiful. But it is just like, damn, it goes there. Like, I feel like not a ton of movies kill kids and make it the parents' fault.
Not a ton. Yeah. No,
this not one a does. Ton will do this that. One does.
This one does. You're right. It's really weird, and there's sort of like. There's like this underlying thing of like the orphans were always going to bring her back, you know, like it's almost like she came back to the house.
Right. Right.
Which means they were going to bring her back. I don't know. It's really wild. But like I don't know why it really sticks with me. And then I always cry at the end, of course. Mm-hmm. And like, because I generally do not like the kind of thing where it's like we're back together in death. Like I generally hate that. But like something about the way they do it with this Peter Pan thing, which is, I have to say, is really delicately sprinkled in. You're like, wait, this is really cute.
Yeah, yeah, they're not hitting you over the head with it. You're just like, oh, right. Oh.
Did she have a disability? Was that something?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
That's a good question, Hen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a parent's worst nightmare to lose your kid. And then on top of it, that the fact that your kid was literally right, like beneath your feet.
You
that
heard
whole time.
Him. You heard him.
Yeah.
And yeah. he that's like also the worst way to die. To die that way is a horrible way
I mean,
to die.
Yeah. No, oh, it's really true. It's truly worst it's case. Horrible. Worst case scenario here.
It's worst Oof. Case. And in that way, it kind of makes the ending okay, where it's like, it's not actually trite if they're all together in the end in death, because it's like the worst possible death has happened. So yeah. In a way, the only way to resolve it is to...
And
to give some relief is to let that happen.
He's not angry with her. And the other kids aren't angry. They're like not upset with her.
Right. Because that's the other thing about kids. I feel like they don't know to hold grudges yet. They're still innocent.
Yeah.
And so it's like they're kind of operating minute by minute, and they love their parents. That's one thing that kids do.
Damn.
Yeah, it is a roller coaster. If there's one day you watch a scary movie, I think you might want to watch this. And even with some of the stuff spoiled, it's like, it's still pretty amazing. But yeah, and I know, even if you don't, but it is a real, as you could tell, it's a real genre bending horror,
yeah,
where it's like,
it's excellent, and it's directed so well, it's beautiful, it's like the performances are like truly everything, it's really, really good. So if you are brave, yeah, listeners, see it.
you gotta I hope I didn't scare you too bad.
I'm gonna have I'm gonna have freaky dreams tonight.
I might have freaky dreams.
Honestly, I think talking about it is almost scarier than just watching it.
We've had this discussion before,
right?
That sometimes, because you, depending on the mental pictures that you are building for yourself, it can be pretty bad. Yeah. So really the one person who really fucking lost out in this whole scenario is Benina. And then I guess she was bad.
She did kill at least five children, yeah. So
her kid died, and then she just killed a bunch of kids.
Got away with it by a truck,
like a bunch of shit.
And some people would say that's mean. Some people would say that's mean. Some people. I don't want to speak for everyone, okay?
No.
Don't come for me, listeners, and say, you know what? I think that's kind of nice. Okay, I respect your opinion.
You can have your opinion.
You are very allowed to it. But yeah, it is wild. And you know, one other thing is like about this is like horror can be so pervasively and oppressively white and straight. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good example of it being different and excellent. And because I complain about this a lot, but like anyone can be scared.
Yeah.
Like anyone can be in a horror movie.
Yeah.
And we've got to do better.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many other ways to be scared. Horror movies, as we have just explained with our bingo, like a lot of horror movies do the same fucking thing over and over again. Although this movie obviously is different in different ways, but like there are a lot of opportunities to mine different experiences, human experiences that are very scary.
There's a lot of things that are scary in the world.
And most of them are not happening to white people, so we don't get a monopoly on fear. Yeah. Like that's really not how the world works.
Very true.
Right.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, yeah. But yeah, it's a nice way to vary it up. Especially in the horror realm.
Yeah, thank you for picking it.
It was great. I'm so glad you
Yeah, I was so happy to see it.
It was I was riveted. Thank you for telling us everything. That was fascinating.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me put you through that roller coaster.
It's our favorite thing.
I love it. You guys
are great. Manu, so we talked about your Stitcher Premium, Horny for Horror, but you've got some other podcasts. Where can people listen to you?
Yeah. I have one on HeadGum where we talk about Drag Race.
Amazing.
It's called Drag Her. I host it with Nicole Byer. It's so fun. And we're talking about All Stars, RuPaul's Drag Race. All Stars is currently out. And so go there if you want to talk about drag and all that fun calamity. Anyone watch Drag Race by any? No, some, a little bit?
Yes.
Yes,
have.
No?
I'm not currently watching it, but I, yes.
Got it.
I feel like I've been to Drag Con because it's happened in LA a couple times. I went like 2 years ago and it was probably the most like entertained I've ever been in my entire life.
It's a good time.
I love it.
It's a damn, you can get good wigs there. And listen to my Patreon podcast with Betsy Sodaro called We Love Trash. Really fun. We talk about trash. And it's awesome. And our entire June patronage is going to three causes, including Black Lives Matter, Black Visions Collective, and the National Bailout.
Amazing.
So, yeah, go support me there. And then, there's just find my Instagram, my name. at Mono Agapian, and I'll be squawking about all this.
Squawking! Well, thanks for squawking to us, Mono. What a treat.
Oh, thank you, you angels.
Were there any... I guess the voices in this movie would be in Spanish.
Yeah, no voices. Just a regular outro for us. Sometimes we do...
regular outro for us.
Sometimes we do voices, but...
Sometimes we do voices. But we don't have
Emily did a fantastic Emily did a fantastic Matthew Lillard impression from Scream last week. It was spot on.
Maybe the listeners want to get another taste of it.
We just do Matthew Lillard every single week. I don't know that they do want that.
I don't know. It's a Scream, baby. Come on.
That was good. Let me hear it.
That was good. I know.
I'll be right back.
Well, great. That wraps us up here. On behalf of all of us here,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good boo.
Good boo.
Hi, everyone. It's Emily again. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. We hope you're loving the show, and if you are, please do go on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, give us a review, and throw us a nice rating. We really do appreciate it. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and keep up with us there. We'll be telling you about upcoming movies and asking for your star signs, because that's just the sort of thing we're into. Next week's movie is going to be Eve's Bayou, so give that a watch before next Wednesday if you'd like, and we cannot wait to tell you all about it then. We love you so much. Bye.